This is FUV Live Sessions, a podcast brought to you by WFUV in New York City. Each week, we talk to artists in our Bronx studio or at venues around the city, and we get to listen to them play a live set. You'll hear the songs and learn about the artist or band. Episodes drop every Monday wherever you listen to podcasts. Be sure to follow the show to stay up to date on all the latest episodes and to find your next favorite artist or band. And if you like what you hear, make sure that you rate and review the show so other music lovers can find it. This is FUV Live Sessions with Natalie Bergman. I'm Megan Suma, and I'm here with host Alisa Ali at WFUV. Alisa, not only is Natalie such a talented guitarist, singer, songwriter, she's also an incredibly down-to-earth, lovely, kind, warm human being. And we got to hear her set today, and it was so, like, ethereal and vibey. And she had her first solo record come out before this project. What are you hearing in this that's different, a departure, or what kind of similarities are there from that first project to this one? What's new in the world of Natalie Bergman?
Well, she is an incredibly thoughtful and sincere person, mm-hmm. I think. And a lot of things have happened to her, and she's had to process a lot. And that first album, Mercy, dealt a lot with the grief of losing her dad, who she was very, very close with, and her stepmom. And so there's a lot of that loss and grief. And some of it still carries over into this new album, as would be imagined, because, you know, when you lose a parent, it stays with you forever. That loss and that grief is always with you. It never goes away. But she also has just had a baby, and her child is about a year and a half now. And, you know, we talked about how inspiring that is. I mean, it's truly, you know, transformative experience to bring a new life into this world, and it changes your perspective, and it adds new hope, and it adds a vibrancy to your spirit. And that comes through in spades on this new album. And the other thing that is interesting is her faith and how that flows through everything she does and how her faith is unwavering. And I think it's very brave to talk about that because a lot of people feel a little bit awkward talking about or bringing up their faith. But it's, I think, something that helps her and can help other people too.
Yeah, I think that's so true. And we're going to get into all of that in the interview. But first, let's hear a song. What is the first song that we're going to listen to in this session?
We're going to hear Lonely Road live in Studio A from Natalie Bergman.
Never find another man.
live version of Lonely Road here in Studio A, done by Natalie Bergman. That is a song from the new record, My Home Is Not in This World. And Natalie and crew are with us today. Natalie, thank you so much for that killer version of Lonely Road.
Thank you so much for having us.
And you did not come alone. You brought a very cool crew with you. Let's give them a shout out.
For sure. I brought Eric Hall, who was playing drums with me, John Kibler on bass, and Mark Noseworthy was on guitar and keyboards.
And I knows your drummer.
Yeah, you knows my drummer. We've been here before
a couple times.
With Wild Bell, and so I was stoked to come back here today.
I'm so glad you're back, and I am really into this new album. Seriously, congratulations. It is a wonderful album, start to finish, and like beautifully sequenced, too. And that song, Lonely Road, you just released a very cool video for it, shot in the desert, and there's the cover of the album actually is you in the desert as well. Did you do it all like one and done
that
same day?
We did different days. We shot in the Mojave Desert. But I wanted to go back to where we shot the album cover just for cohesive purposes. But we went to the Mojave Desert just a few weeks ago to shoot a video, and I like to shoot on film, 8mm and 16mm. And we lost half of the rolls because it was so hot that day. It was 120 degrees. And we just ended up, we overexposed some of them. This sounds like we're amateurs, but I have a lot of experience using film. But we got this new camera and it just sort of, it was very finicky. And so we didn't end up having enough material to do the whole video. So I was like, as long as we have a moving image of me doing donuts in the 1968 Mustang, then that's good. That's
our
video.
It's funny you should say that, because I was wondering, I was like, this is not the full song. Will there be more to it? Is this just the teaser?
It's a teaser, and then we just couldn't follow it up. I tried to sort of salvage the film that we lost, but it was kind of useless.
Do you have a lot of experience doing donuts?
I like to do donuts.
Wow.
And I like fast cars.
Okay. That's so exciting. And a very cool car in the video, too.
Yeah, that's my Mustang. And
that's your car?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
We just, it's a little bit cheesy sometimes that I like muscle cars. I'm like, why? What's wrong with me? I'm a new mother and I'm obsessed with fast cars.
That's very exciting. But I also think that you must be kind of drawn to the desert as well. The sound of this record has a very desert vibe to it. And, you know, you got a picture of yourself in there. Like, what specifically calls you to that place? And do you take any inspiration from it?
Yeah, I like the desert. I come from sort of wetland in the woods outside of Chicago. So we're surrounded by marshland and lots of beautiful trees and wildlife. And the desert, I am drawn to it sort of for its dustiness, but I wouldn't say that's the main inspiration on this record. I sort of spent some of the album recording in Los Angeles and also half of it in Chicago as well, in the woods where we grew up. But I liked the cover image. I wanted to sort of nod to Will the Circle Be Unbroken?
Right.
And so I made an incomplete circle. And I am standing in the middle of it, and it, you know, alludes to sort of that message of, you know, where is our home, and maybe that home over yonder, we'll get there someday.
It's a really interesting record, and I mentioned that I feel like it has kind of this desert vibe to it, even though, you know, maybe that's just me reading into it, but it's got this kind of, I don't know, I'm trying to, it's like an elusiveness to it. Like, there's hope on this album, and I love that. But there is something kind of like where it's hard to put your finger. You don't know exactly what is happening. And I guess that kind of, you touch on that, like, this home, my home is not in this world. And you're kind of trying to figure out your place in this world.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think, you know, there is a lot of hope on this album.
Yeah.
I started writing again right after Arthur, my son, was born. The last album I put out, you know, almost 5 years ago was
Mercy.
Mercy, very much about death and loss. And so I think that when I started writing again, I really was inspired by life and birth and all of the beautiful things that come along with new life. So there is the hope on the record. And then there's definitely, it covers some loss that, you know, has happened over the last few years. And that's a part of life. There is a lot of loss in this life. And there's a lot of discovering new love. And the sort of idea of my home is not in this world, I think, you know, as an artist, I think most artists feel like they're trying to find their place in this life. And that's why we form bands. You know, it's like musicians find a band because they're looking for a home. And you can find a home in lots of places through your family or, you know, through the arts or through love. And so I try to make the message of the album be positive and be hopeful, especially in these times. But I also have to express that I do feel like there's a lot of brokenness in the world and a lot of pain and hurt. And I'm not trying to be an escapist, but some days I really don't feel like I have a place here. And I do believe in that home over yonder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really important. I know that your faith is very important to you, and it is something that sort of gets you through a lot of challenges, and like a lot of people. Mm. Can you talk a little bit about your faith and how it kind of filters through your music?
Mm. I think I've always sort of had faith in the kind of, it's always been a present thing in my life, and it's been unwavering over the years. But it's kind of taken a backseat in terms of what I talk about, you know, the topic of my music. I haven't always been so blatantly faith-driven in my writing. Mercy was such a specific body of work, and I think I'll leave that where it is because, mm-hmm. it, you know, you can only really lose your father once, and I'm thankful that I can only lose him once because I don't want to go through that again. But that body of work was so specific to my faith.
We're talking with Natalie Bergman here in Studio A and about the new record, My Home Is Not In This World. I'm Alisa Ali, so pleased to have Natalie and crew in our studio. And we're going to get another live version from the new record. This is Gunslinger here on WFUV.
Spinning with delight, he was a heartbreaking lover with diamond eyes. Met in California in my friend's backyard. Fell in love underwater, then he took me to the stars. He had an eye for young women, like to shoot them down.
Take me back, baby.
a live version of Gunslinger here on member-supported WFUV. That's a really fun song. It's interesting because I know that after the first record, you kind of were done with love songs for a little bit, right? Sure. But now you love songs again. And that one kind of demonstrates it a little bit, right?
Absolutely. I mean, it's fun to sing love songs. And yeah. It's fun to write them. And I actually wrote that song about 10 years ago in a dusty studio in Brooklyn.
Oh.
I was working with some of the Daptones.
Oh, right. And they're on this record, too.
They're on this record. Nick Mofshin and Homer Steinweiss. I love them. They're my favorite rhythm section in the world. And we wrote this song together, and it was fun to kind of bring it back to life. When I started recording this album, I was like, I love that song so much. And it was just kind of a lost recording. But it's fun to sing about. You have this collection of stories throughout your life, and, you know, there's relationships, and there's, you know, bad heartbreak, and there's butterflies, and there's all the things that come along with love. And I think that, as I said, you know, I was talking about new life and starting to write this record after I had my son, and I put together a collection of the stories that I have through romance and those things. And it's fun to take a walk down memory lane and remember, you know, falling in love with some gnarly dude.
Yep.
Who was no good.
No. But you've got a good one now.
Yeah.
Now you've got a good one. But it is fun to think about those wild days.
It just takes a few. Yeah. A few bad things to land you in the right spot.
And it'll get you a good song. So that's good. That's good fodder for music. It makes sense to me that is an older song, because I know you've just had a baby. Like, you're a new mom. Your child is not even two. And you've already got a new album out. I was like, wow, she is fast. Did you just, like, give birth and start writing immediately? Like, so inspired.
It took about 6 months, because you have a new identity when you have a child.
Yeah, but also you're so busy.
Yeah, we're busy. You're as a mother.
Yeah.
I mean, you know. You've got a son. And,
yeah.
I think you have to, of course, take some time off, and your body is recovering, and there's a lot of sort of emotional healing to do, because you've gone through this insane thing called giving birth.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you get to meet this new child, and it's like this, it's unbelievable what happens. And so, of course, I wanted to be a mother. And then I also, you know, 6 or 7 months after you have the child, you start to say, wait a minute, am I still an artist? Because I stopped writing and I stopped working for a little bit. But yeah, around 8 months, when he was 8 months, I started writing these songs, and I just dove in. And I think this record kind of came alive pretty naturally and pretty quickly. Yes, I tapped into some older songs like Gunslinger, but all of the material is new and, you know, written in the last year or so. And birth is inspiring, and it's grueling, and it's all of the beautiful things that you know, we love.
Is there a particular song that your son seems to enjoy on this record?
Because I love making music videos, I love just thinking about visual ideas when I'm writing the songs. I feel like I always have a visual. Mm-hmm. And so he's been sort of helping me just stay positive when I'm writing video treatments and when I'm recording the films. And he loves dance.
I love that video, too.
He loves Gunslinger. I mean, because I did a line dance. I had my friend Sandy help me choreograph a line dance for the video. And
you choreographed the dance for dance?
I choreographed it with my friend Sandy Denton, who's an amazing dancer and artist and musician.
Oh, wow. That's incredible.
She's in Los Angeles. Uh-huh. It's just fun to get together with your friends and make art. And but my son he just lights up when I sing, and he's very musical, and it's fun to have somebody to bounce ideas off of, because he's very responsive.
I'm sure he'll let you know immediately, like start crying or just walk away from you. Or I guess he can't walk yet.
He can definitely walk.
He can walk. Okay.
He's running.
Oh, he's running. Yeah. Wow. Okay.
He's an active little dude.
That's I don't know how you have time to do all of this stuff. I'm very impressed. So we're going to get one more song out of you. And it is My Home Is Not In This World, the title track from this record. And I did want to talk just a little bit about your faith and how it kind of relates to your musical journey and your path through life. And I think it's interesting, there's a lot of people who are religious. I have talked to a lot of different musicians who are religious, but are always a little bit wary of talking about it.
For sure. I mean, it can be uncomfortable because it's such a vulnerable topic and because you have your own relationship with faith and God. And some people are amazing at talking about it. I think Nick Cave is one of those artists that has been so articulate with the words that he uses behind his faith and behind loss. And his book, Faith, Hope, and Carnage, was really a beautiful book for me to read after losing my dad. And it's about losing his two sons, and can't even imagine what that loss would be.
I know two of them. Jeez.
I can't believe it. And he's so strong, and he's been so creative in the aftermath, you know, in the wake of their deaths. I sort of have looked to him a little bit when people ask me about my faith. I've always felt a little bit maybe uncomfortable, but you know, I've had an unwavering faith my entire life, and to be able to sing about it can be a little scary because, especially in this political climate, you know, I would never want to be looped in with some of these gnarly Republicans who are using religion in horrible ways. And our president is treating people horribly, and he calls himself a Christian. And in my opinion, he's the antithesis of what Christ stood for. Anyway, not to get too political here, but I think it's actually been a fun challenge for me to incorporate a little bit of my beliefs and my faith in the music, because I, even though I say it's a little scary, I'm not afraid what people think about me. I do it. I make this music because I have to, and I make this because it's the gift that I've been given, and so I'm thankful to be able to
share it.
To share it. Yeah.
Amen.
Thank you.
Now, I did want to get one last update from you before you go, because you are from quite the musical family, and I know your brother, Elliot, from Wild Bell. Is there going to be any other new Wild Bell music?
Yeah, we've got sort of a collection of recordings that we just need to sequence, and hopefully in the next year we can put something out. He's actually on a flight here. We're going to play a small release show at Electric Lady tonight, and so he's on his way to play that with me. And
oh, that's so awesome.
He's on the fence about joining my band, but he...
Oh, really? Why doesn't he want to join?
You know, it's like, it's just, he has so many things that he's doing. He's working on his solo music, and he's doing a lot of visual art. So, but he's coming.
Okay.
He's on his way.
And he actually produced the new record.
He produced the new record. And so we love to work with each other. We have a really close relationship, and he just understands my sonic palette better than anyone.
Natalie, thank you so much for coming into Studio A. Congratulations on this new record. It is really, it's such a wonderful record. And the first one, the first solo record, was really good too.
Thank you so much.
So it's really like you're batting 1,000 here. So congratulations.
Thank you, Alisa.
And we'll get a live version of the title track from the new Natalie Bergman album, My Home Is Not In This World, right here on WFUV.
as she flies through the clouds of water. Takes to the trees as they sway above us, keeping us company.
That was Natalie Bergman performing and in conversation at WFUV in New York City. A big thank you to Natalie for joining us in our studio and to Third Man Records. Thanks to our WFUV audio team, including Jim O'Hara, Aaron Merriman, and Sage Rochetti. Our FUV live studio sessions are engineered by Jim O'Hara. Our associate producers for this episode were Ina Volovich and Liv Grant. Megan Suma is our executive producer. Our theme music was composed by John Crick. Be sure to follow FUV live sessions wherever you get your podcasts so you can listen to new episodes and find your next favorite artist or band. Episodes drop every Monday. You can also catch audio and video of FUV Live Sessions on WFUV.org. FUV Live Sessions is a production of WFUV in New York City. I'm your host, Alisa Ali.